Welcome to Wednesday and another Ask Uncle Lee day. All right, as always, leave comments in the, or questions in the comments section below, and I'll add them to the list and answer them as we go. All right, so let's just quickly do an intro and then we'll get straight into it. Welcome to my channel. You are entering the world of magic and mysticism with your host, Lee W. Johnson. Keep the lights on and help improve the channel by becoming a supporter for just $2.99 per month. Hit the join button. Okay, so today I'm going to tackle the longer Q&As. Whether they're longer answers, I don't really know. We'll see. Well, I guess this is a test to see how much I ramble, and I did remember my hat today. It's, well, crooked, so we're all good to go. But yeah, whether we do one or two of these today, I'm not sure. We'll see how, as I said, how much I actually do ramble. Okay, so let's get into it anyway. It's a question from at Elliot Miller Music. Are you familiar with the WHOOP method devised by Gabrielle Oettingen? It's a form of mental contrasting shown to help in setting achieving goals that involves visualizing your desired outcome as well as visualizing the main obstacle that keeps you from achieving that outcome. But in magic, when trying to manifest things, we seem to visualize the desired outcome only, which according to Gabrielle Oettingen's studies, not only doesn't help in achieving goals, but actually tends to work against achieving goals. I've done spells myself using the standard witchcraft method of grounding, visualization, and visualization of desired outcome, ritual tools, etc. That seem to have possibly worked, but I also don't think I've experienced anything that couldn't be explained away as coincidence. I'm endlessly fascinated by magic, and thanks to the more nuanced views of people like you, Jason Miller, and a few others, I can't help but feel like magic is something worth pursuing, even for a skeptic. But at the same time, I guess I don't know what to think when the methods described by occultists seem to be directly contradicted by scientific studies like those done by Professor Oettingen. Unless I'm misunderstanding something, and there's no actual contradiction between the two at all. Any insight that might help with this would be appreciated. Hopefully this wasn't too long and rambly. That's okay. I'm a rambly person myself. So no, it's actually a great question. Thanks. And well laid out, described, everything else. All right, so lot to unpack here. Firstly, I did not know about the WHOOP method. I did go and have a look at it. It's interesting. I don't think it's really anything new, to be honest with you. You know, if anybody hasn't heard of the WHOOP method, go to, hang on, let me just go back to the website so I can actually give you the right URL here. It's WHOOP My Life, WOOP, whoopmylife.org. Go and have a look there. So WHOOP is basically, it stands for Wish, Outcome, Obstacle, Plan. So, you know, just to explain it for anybody who hasn't heard of it either. So you have a wish, you then formulate an outcome that you would like, you know, the time period you want it to happen in, and what you actually want to happen. And then you think of the obstacles. What within yourself holds you back from accomplishing this thing? And then you make a plan to overcome that obstacle and you go forward. The way it's explained, you know, this whole thing of the idea that just visualizing the outcome doesn't actually work. The way she explains it is that we visualize the outcome and therefore, because we visualize it in the present sense, we then tend to relax because now we have the thing in our visualization, and therefore our energy actually decreases and it doesn't like propel us forward almost. It's a valid point, I must say. But I think the difficulty here comes in the with the idea that a lot of the LOA people, the law of attraction, you know, and the YouTube manifestors, and all of these people who have some kind of root in the secret. You know, they may not follow the secret, they may go beyond it, but I think that's where the root of the whole thing is. It's in this idea of the secret. You know, we can call out to the universe and say, I want this, and then we go through our creative visualization and we visualize it in the present sense, and therefore it comes to us. That's the idea that has been pushed forward. The difficulty is that that's not complete in itself, but that's what people are following, that's what people are extending into. But even if you go into the secret itself, when it came out after the movie and the book and everything else, the people who were interviewed in that movie and in the book actually went and did their own. There was one guy, I can't remember the people's names, but I remember the one guy actually came to South Africa. He did a conference. I'm not really sure what to call it. A workshop, we'll call it a workshop, where he was actually going around the world and teaching people how to actually do this method, but the actual method. The secret kind of gave an indication of what it should be and then stopped. There was a whole lot of other stuff beyond that that should have been included, but never was. So, you know, the secret is, it's a good thing. It's a lot of people, well, it's a good and a bad thing. A lot of people found that it gave them an introduction, it gave them a starting point, and then they explored further themselves. A lot of people didn't do the exploration. They just, like, took this on faith and that was it. And therefore it became a bad thing. But if we have a look at Magical Self, first of all, you did say you're a skeptic. Excellent. Brilliant being a skeptic, because, you know, especially in magic, I think having a healthy skepticism is actually a very good thing, because that means that you are not just going on faith, on blind faith, you know. And magic is very much about, it is very much a scientific approach. You should be testing, you should be experimenting, and you should be keeping records of those tests and experiments, so you can go back to them and see where things went wrong or where things went right, and then extend, expand on it, change, alter, you know, make things better. So a healthy skepticism is excellent. But do we have this aspect of having a look or examining our obstacles? Yes, we do. But before I go there, I'll just ask you something. I didn't go into this extensively. I did. You can do like a test whoop on their website where you go through the questions and set out your whoop plan. And I did find this to be a bit troublesome. As I said, I haven't gone beyond that simple test. Maybe there's more to it. Maybe there's more examination that you do. I'm not sure. But the part that I found troublesome was you have your wish and then you set your outcome. So the period you want it to be accomplished in, what you actually want accomplished, and you do the visualization. And then you have a look at your obstacle, which is pointing at you. What's wrong in you that is stopping you from accomplishing this thing? And one of the things that has always been a huge difficulty for me is fear of success. And what I've done throughout my life, and it's something I am still trying to overcome, is in order to be successful, I have to do X, Y, and Z. And then I start doing that and I become successful and I get to a certain point and then I self-sabotage because I have a fear of success. And people may think this is strange. Why would you be afraid of success? It's a real thing. So I was going through this whoop thing and I put that in, fear of success. And then the next part was, what action can you take to overcome that? Well, this is a deep-seated psychological issue that was implanted in me when I was a child and has festered through. I'm now 52. That's a lot of years. That's a lot to unpack and a lot to try and figure out. You know, I've been trying to do that for many, many, many years. I can't just do an action to overcome that. So, you know, I think there is. I don't, as I said, I don't know if there's more to it when you really, really get into it, but that just seems a way, way too simplified to actually be effective, especially if you come up with these things which are deep-seated psychological problems. But anyway, let's get back to the magic part. All right, so pertaining to obstacles themselves, if we take, I'm going to try and take some examples. Let's start with Lord Ganesha from the Hindu tradition, the absolute wonderful elephant god. He's the remover of obstacles. You know, we have many folk magic spells. If you look into hoodoo, it's quite prevalent there, where we have spells that remove obstacles. Open your roads. A road opener is a very prominent thing. So we have these things where we are removing obstacles from our life because we recognize there are definitely obstacles. There's always obstacles. But to get from point A to point B, yes, we do start with that visualization because we have to know what we want. And this is going to come back to the witch's pyramid. And the four powers of the Sphinx and things like that, to know, to dare, to will, to keep silent. You've got to first know, that's your wish. Then you dare, that's creating the outcome. And then you will, you actually put it into action. And in order to put it into action, you've got to push forward, you've got to have the passion to do that. So it's not a case of you know, the YouTube manifestors and the LOA people that just go, oh, just visualize what you want and it will come to you. That's not what happens in magic. We do the visualization, but then we have to have the will. So where this professor is saying that we start at this point with the wish and then we visualize the outcome. And then because we now visualize it as being the present, our energy drops down and we have no will to push that forward. In magic, we do. That's the will. That's to will part. We have to actually put it in action and do it. And then to keep silent. You know, there's various ways you can interpret that, but usually it's to not keep coming back, keep holding it. I spoke about this a couple of weeks ago on a Monday, where I was talking about lusting after results. So go and have a look at that one as well, because that also forms part of the to keep silent part. But there is the witch's pyramid, which has this aspect of actually keeping the energy flowing. And that's part of magic. If you go into something like financial magic, and Jason Miller talks about this quite extensively in his book, most of his books actually, but if you actually go read his book on financial magic, it's something which I don't think a lot of people really talk about, but it, probably because it's something which I think a lot of us kind of assume is obvious, but it's actually not. You know, a lot of people will do emergency magic because all of a sudden they need something and if they're desperate for it, they'll do emergency magic. Whereas what we should be doing is constantly letting that energy flow forward. Okay, so we're constantly doing things, constantly opening our roads, removing obstacles so that we can then see new opportunities and constantly go move forward. So we're always doing this magic to keep the energy flowing forward the way we want it to flow. And that's what we should be doing. But we should be constantly moving forward in that fashion, is keeping that energy moving step by step by step by step. And it's taking steps. And when you're taking steps, if you're walking along a road, you're going to come across obstacles. What you do, you either go over them or you go around them. That's what we do with magic. We are moving forward step by step by step. We're doing magic each day to actually move, keep that energy flowing. And every now and again, we're going to come against obstacles. we have divination methods to see those obstacles before they actually get to us and give us enough time to actually decide how to overcome it, or if we need to walk around it, or if we need to just stop for a while and let it pass, depending on what the obstacle actually is. So there's different ways we also interact with those obstacles and overcome them, or bypass them, or let them bypass us, depending on what it is. But we have divination, and that divination sees those obstacles before they actually get to us, so that we know how to deal with them when they do get to us. So we're absolutely completely aware of the obstacles that actually happen within magic. But as I said, what we should be doing is constantly keeping that energy flowing the way we want it to move. Every now and again, it's going to go off track or off kilter, and we then just do work to bring it back to the path that we want it to be on. You know, things happen in life. Shit happens, crap happens. Does it all the time. So, you know, it's not like it's going to be this perfect flow for the rest of our lives. We are going to come up against obstacles. We are going to come up against things that were unexpected. But at the same time, when we come up against those things that are unexpected, we should have the training to actually know what to do when we do. Okay? So, yes, we're going to get thrown off our path every now and again. But we have the training, we have the experience to know what to do, how to get back onto the path that we want to. I think this is the big difference between actual occult magic and this idea of this, you know, the secret, the YouTube manifestors, the law of attraction people. I do feel there is a huge similarity between them, but also a huge gap. And whether somebody starts with that and comes over to this idea of the occult magic, that's fine, that's perfect. And I do feel a lot of these YouTube manifestors are doing that. They're actually using occult magic, but half the time they're not actually realizing it, and they picked up a method from another law of attraction person. They picked up this method and they used it and it worked. Okay, subconsciously somewhere they are doing the whole process of checking the obstacle, keeping the energy flowing, all of that stuff. But because they didn't have the training, they didn't recognize what was going on, and therefore they just continue to teach this method to other people, and then other people try and it doesn't work. You know, maybe once it'll work, beginner's luck, and then they try it another time and it doesn't work, and they try another time, it doesn't work, and then they just give up. Because they, you know, it's not giving them a broad perspective of what is going on, what should be going on. And that obviously bleeds over into things like neo-paganism. I do like to simplify things. I love simplifying things. I like to simplify the methods I use in magic, in ritual, in spell work, in contacting spirits. All of this stuff, I like to simplify those methods. So yes, I do simplify. But at the same time, I started out with those more complicated methods because I needed to learn what was actually happening, what was going on. And I'm constantly learning new things about those methods and what actually happens. What happens with the subconscious and the unconscious and the conscious mind? You know, if we talk about sigil magic, for instance, you'll get people who are on TikTok in a 3-minute video will say, you know, create your will sentence, cross out the vowels, cross out the repeating consonants, and then take those letters and, you know, convert it into numbers and put it on a number wheel, and there's your sigil, and then just activate it. You know, do X, Y, and Z. But do they understand what's actually happening, why we're actually doing that? You start off with a sentence with letters, which is representative of the conscious mind. You then form it into a sigil, a glyph, an image. And the unconscious mind speaks in symbols. So what you're doing is you're taking that aspect of the conscious mind and you're forming it into something which the unconscious recognizes, but moving it away so much, making it so abstract that the conscious mind cannot relate that symbol to what the original intent was. The unconscious mind knows, though, because it files every single little thing away. And then we use trance, and there's a point during trance where we switch. We kind of go into an in-between state. That's the point we need, because what happens is we use the trance to bypass the filters that go to the unconscious mind. We filter thousands upon thousands of things out every single second of the day. So we use trance, and we get to that between state where we transfer the symbol into the unconscious mind. We bypass the filters, just all the psychic centers, as chaos magicians may call them. And that's the process that happens. You know, we have to remove it from the conscious and plant it into the unconscious, and plant it by bypassing the psychic senses, and that's why we use the trance. There's all these things that happen, but I don't think that many people actually bother trying to figure that out. And I am definitely rambling now. I can't even remember why I started talking about this, but anyway, I'm going to leave it in just in case anybody finds it interesting. Yes, and we only got through one question, but I think you get the idea. You know, when it comes to occultism, when it comes to magic and spell work, there's a lot more to it than just, you know, doing a ritual, doing a spell work, and just doing a visualization. There is that, we should be doing that constant stepping. You know, as we step through forward in life, we should be stepping forward in our energetic life. And constantly keeping that energy flowing the way we want it to flow, and using divination to see the obstacles before they actually come. So I'm going to leave it there. Have a good one for now. Cheerio, bye-bye.